memoirs and so on. The main way to keep the memory or thinking of Prabhupada alive is through vani, as we discussed, these, following the teachings in separation, active service, doing things that he ordered and that please him. So it doesn't take a separate cultivation. But this type of thing that we're discussing tonight is also important. Different kinds of memorials or tributes to deliberately to preserve memory of him and stimulate it. Most of these things were not asked by Prabhupada, but they're not his work. They're our work and our need. As usual, I try to establish a tradition for the type of thing that we discuss. So there's certainly the Vaishnava tradition for worshipping the paraphernalia and places, which are called tirthas, of either the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees. As far as the Supreme Lord Krishna is concerned, all his places are worshipable. So one of the important works, therefore, that the six Goswamis were given by Lord Chaitanya was to find the places of Lord Krishna and excavate them. Kiranagri Das is not here. He's our great enthusiast and expert about Krishna's tirthas. Lord Chaitanya set an example also that he visited holy places very scrupulously. What is Krishna's Kavi Raj says, I cannot tell you all the places, all the holy places he visited, but just know that he went visited every place, left, right, up and down. He was always going to visit a holy place. And wherever he visited, that's become a holy place. There's even one statement that the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they want to go wherever he went, even if he only went there for 5 minutes. And King Prataparudra, he had that attitude. King Prataparudra also ordered them to maintain a new boat on the banks of the river, and wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath or crossed to the other side of the river, they should establish a memorial column and make that place a great place of pilgrimage. Indeed, said the king, I will take my bath there, and let me also die there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to places where Lord Chaitanya visited, and he established lotus feet there in many different places, in South India especially. One of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's important works was to discover the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So that's Tirtha, place, where they were. Another is paraphernalia, anything the Lord used. Like Lord Chaitanya's cloth, when he wouldn't agree to see King Prataparudra, he finally agreed to give him a cloth. On receiving the cloth from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the king began to worship it. The Lord's clothing, bedding, slippers, and everything required as an ordinary necessity are all transformations of Shesha Vishnu, the expansion of Baladeva. Thus the cloth and other paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are but forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Vrindavan is worshipable, similarly the paraphernalia in Vrindavan, the trees and everything else, is worshipable. But not only Krishna, but anything in relation to Krishna. Like the verse says, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. The highest worship, Aradhanam, Tasmat Parataram Devi, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. The highest worship, said Lord Shiva, is to worship Vishnu, but higher is to worship things in connection with Vishnu, like the devotee or his paraphernalia. So there are tirthas in India that are specifically with devotees, Dhruva Ghat, Vrindavan, Bhadirak Ashram, place of Vyasdeva, Vinipol, Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami's well, Vrindavan, so many places. Therefore, it's in that tradition that we also, as followers of Prabhupada, worship his lotus feet, understand, trying to understand his greatness, and to also establish that greatness for others' benefit. We establish these places and try to worship them. Now, Prabhupada himself, he acted that way. He was very happy when he was able to take shelter at Radhadamodar Temple and live in the shade, practically, literally, of Rupa Goswami's samadhi and worship his spiritual masters. He also worshipped his own guru's samadhi in Mayapur. Now, the samadhi of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, are being built in almost to completion in Vrindavan and being built in Mayapur. But for so many years, when this wasn't being built, many senior devotees thought that all other spiritual ills that our movement was going through could be traced to the fact that this samadhi was being neglected and wasn't being constructed in this way, its importance. It's important for devotees to do, because the spiritual masters, it's a spiritual master's transcendental body is there, but also not just to mark the place, but to build a great, in Prabhupada's case, a big memorial so that people can come. These things are very impressive, and people become in awe. Some of you have been to big, there are so many memorials like that. Lincoln Memorial is especially impressive. I remember going there as a little boy, and you look up, and he's so big, and he's on the chair, and the whole place is very beautifully constructed. So, and his words are inscribed there. So you cannot help but go away with some good impression, if the place is tastefully done and is magnificent. So, samadhi is good preaching, and it's shelter for devotees in the future. All the kind of things we're talking about, how can we know Prabhupada and be close to him when we didn't know him, or in the future, this kind of thing will enhance closeness to Prabhupada, samadhi. So that's a major memorial. But in Vrindavan also, and elsewhere, there are rooms that Prabhupada used, and so they're kept up as museums. I wrote some notes about being in Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan, which is a little descriptive of the place, but also it tells about some of the behavior of different devotees there. Help us remember how to use these things. The room is darkened somewhat, and we all chant together. One devotee looks at the covers of Prabhupada's books. Another chants his japa in an interior room, sitting before the small asana Prabhupada used when he took prasadam. Glass museum cases hold Prabhupada's personal effects. We didn't realize when he was here how important each moment was. Each day I've been bowing down to Prabhupada from a distance on the other side of the velvet rope that separates visitors from his room. Today I went up close and bowed down flat before him. As I rose up, I saw his feet under the low table, and then I faced him and thought, "Now say to Prabhupada what's on your mind about your service." This morning I decided to come back later and in his presence write him a letter. As devotees arrive to Vrindavan Dham from Italy and Japan, some of the younger ones who never saw Prabhupada enter his room for the first time in awe. Soon they too are chanting side by side in Japa Yajna. It is a custom to present newly published books before Srila Prabhupada in his room. Ishwara Swami from Brazil has placed Portuguese translations of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita volumes, and 3 Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita volumes on Prabhupada's desk. Devotees gather around Prabhupada, admiring the books and looking at the pictures. The excitement and pleasure of producing Srila Prabhupada's books and presenting them to him. Who can know this except the Prabhupada Anugas? Srila Prabhupada himself gave it great importance, and he was pleased to see the books and to hear how they were being distributed. Therefore, we continue it, and we are also pleased. So that's a very intense room. But and there are also other rooms. Some of the prominent ones is in Mayapur. That's not much developed yet, but it's a really sweet place of Prabhupada's memory, because he out of that whole big building, he just kept one room, but it's kept the way he had it. He was like the way it was when he was here. So you can still go there and sit there and see his books and the different paraphernalia there. I remember, it's probably still there, there's a bas relief carved in wood of Radha and Krishna, very ornate. And his simple table, a very simple paraphernalia, actually. Then in London, there's a nice big room, which is kept up. And devotees gather there regularly for different kind of talks and classes in his presence. And the Murti is there. Detroit, in the mansion. Los Angeles, Bombay, so on. So it's a duty of the temples, where they have these places, to keep them up and maintain them one way or another, either exactly as it was when he was here, or maintain it nicely. Anyone know of any other rooms like that, Prabhupada rooms they'd like to mention?
New York Temple.
Puri was
transplanted
into the Brooklyn Temple. They made an exact replica of the Brooklyn room, right down to the last detail. Hmm. Exactly. There's a photograph on the wall. Exactly how the garland is placed on the table, and how everything is standing, all the same things. He has many amazing original artifacts from the New York temples.
Yeah. I think I've seen it, but I'll look at it again. Yeah.
Since we're sitting right here in the cabin, and you mentioned that just wherever the pure devotee goes is a tirtha, and Prabhupada used to sit right here when he came to Gudanagari, so we're all sitting in the cabin when Prabhupada sat.
Not regularly, but he came
Not
and
regularly.
Sat here, yeah. Looked out the window? Vamandev. It was his place when Prabhupada visited him and sat here. That whole visit, you know, can be traced more, revived more. First he went here, then he went here. He talked here. That would be significant. Yes, it was very fortunate that Prabhupada visited Gudanagari. Nice photos, and there's a tape, wonderful lecture he gave.
There's a short video.
A video? Who made that? Yadabar type thing?
It's very short, about 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh. Last year we celebrated that day with the first time we've
done it. That's nice when you see some place where Prabhupada really wasn't there long, but the devotees take it very seriously, and they've got something. And it's also sad to see some place you go and you say, I remember Prabhupada was here, and they say, oh yeah, well, that's for, we use that for incense storage now, or something. Well, where's the pillow? Well, I don't know. We're not sure anymore if that's the same rocking chair. Maybe it was, but anyway, we was using it for something else. It's sort of like covered over. But it's nice. You know, you can't expect devotees to keep a big suite only for that, but something should be done, and things shouldn't get lost. Yes?
In Atlanta, they have also Prabhupada's room that he stayed in.
Right, yeah.
He's the last table also.
Yeah. Did they finish constructing? I know they were fixing it up about 2 years ago. Is it finished now?
There they did a different style to make it, to not try to make it just like it was, but make it into a memorial room of nice pictures, and pictures of Prabhupada when he visited Dallas, and make it a very opulent thing. Nice. Okay, going on, other things. So these are tirthas in temples. They're also, if you want to call them that, it's a little hard because they're still part of the material nature. They're not owned by ISKCON. We call them, quote, tirthas outside of ISKCON. Like there's a New York City tour, you can go 72nd Street and down to the Bowery and then over to 22nd Avenue. And sometimes devotees even get inside the apartment. Then another place is the room that Prabhupada kept in an old section of New Delhi, Chippewada. And I visited there a few years ago and wrote about that place. Thought I'd mention it again to partly to show not just the place, but attitudes we can go in, what we're doing when we go there, what we're seeking. Prabhupada kept this room in the city so that he could coordinate the different aspects of printing the Bhagavatam. He translated and wrote purports here, and he also went to the paper sellers and printers and did proofreading at Chippewada. He had faith that his presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam was his life's work, but since he was almost 70 years old when he began, he worked intensely. His plan was to print at least a few volumes and then go to America and present them, but his time was short. I was at that time writing haiku. I have a couple of little poems after that. It says, empty cupboards now. The sun tells us what we already know. Empty now, but millions of volumes all over the world. Krishnadas Pandit died last December. That's the man who gave Prabhupada a place there free. Prabhupada used to call him Hari Bhakti Das Anudas, servant of the Vaishnavas, because he helped Prabhupada. His son, 37 years old, cordially allows us in and asks us to take darshan of Radha Krishna. Then he speaks a few words as if we knew nothing at all of Srila Prabhupada and his mission. I assume a silent know-it-all air, but the irony is that I also don't know. The room is completely empty, dust in the air. The Pandit's son said, it was like this when he was here. He typed here, he slept there, he wrote here. As soon as they leave me alone in the room, I search quickly through the cupboards for signs of an old book cover, or maybe even a volume one. Empty. The life spark is absent from this room, Prabhupada himself. I'm carrying a BBT volume, 1978 printing, 990,000 copies in print. I'm sorry I don't read Prabhupada's books more carefully. If I did, I wouldn't find things empty and dusty. This room is external, yet it is a tirtha. But such places are hard to appreciate. The room is now as it was then. In those days it was difficult to know that Prabhupada would expand his mission so successfully. No one here knew it. Out of neglect they have kept it unattended, dirty, empty, not the slightest comfort here, just as when he resided here. They could have at least restored some items, the light from the ceiling, the trunk he typed on, the typewriter, at least something signifying that the Srimad Bhagavatam was prepared here by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, a work of greatest importance for the next 10,000 years of human life. Best use I can make of my visit here is to read Srimad Bhagavatam deeply and carefully. A prayer. I am small but integrated into your ISKCON. Let me work and contribute to your institution. One important way to do this is to regularly study your books. I pray for your blessing to do this. From this Chippewada place, I beg this benediction. A tiny fraction of your devotion. As you wrote here, let me read what you wrote. So we can have real nice experiences if we go in those places. In a sense, we have more to do with such places than a big Vishnu temple sometimes. There's also the Radha Govinda Mandir in Calcutta. Muluk's Mandir. So another important memorial is the Prabhupada Murti. This was, I said that Prabhupada didn't institute these things. We did after his disappearance. But actually the Murti was installed during his lifetime. He personally installed it in Krishna Balaram Mandir along with the Murti of his spiritual master. He said they should go together. As early as 1972, he explained about his picture. "There's no difference between me and my picture, therefore we should honor and keep pictures in that spirit. If we throw pictures this way and that way, it is offense. The name and picture are as good as the person in the spiritual world. In the material world, either picture or person, everything is illusion." And the murtis that we have now, like here in Gitanagari and the temples, were made by Lochan Das Adhikari, and Prabhupada approved of that. And he wrote a letter when he saw it, saw the photos. "The photos of my murti are very nice," 1976. "The murti of the spiritual master should be treated as good as the deity, Sakshad Daritvaina. The guru should be treated as good as God. This is stated in all the shastras. The difference is that God is master God and the guru is servant God. So the installation ceremony for such a murti should be similar to that done for other deities. All temples can have this deity if they like, but temples which have only Panchatattva painting worship should not be given this deity. You should make a murti of Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, and then we may be worshipped together, as is now being done in our Krishna Balaram temple. They should be placed with Gorni Tai, Guru Gauranga." That's quite an extraordinary instruction, Prabhupada giving instruction for the worship of the Prabhupada murti. I wrote some things about worship of the Prabhupada murti. Let's read a few excerpts from that. "It's nice to have chatters for Prabhupada, lots of chatters, so that I can increase my devotion by pleasingly placing a new one on his shoulders every day. As you are patient and devoted, you will see his features more in the murti and love them and remember them in other forms as well, his personal features, words, teachings, etc. Murti, it is not a dollhouse game of miniature." Of course, that I'm referring to a small one. "Remember, you are dealing with Prabhupada. Be serious if you want to see him. I am honoring the rare contact with the pure devotee, the Maha pure devotee, and I am therefore worshipping his form. See the Shastra for how you worship the murti of the Guru. The deity is Prabhupada himself. It is not merely a symbol of the real person. And yet, in a sense, we do this direct personal service to the deity as symbolic to the service we did to him when here. It is an expression of our desire that we may massage him and be servant to that original form, although this may not be possible again. We do it in remembrance. We do it in the present moment, a satisfaction to the deity form, and we do it in some prayer, hope to return to that again. Prabhupada murti, being near you was always safe. If there were politics or fear of the material world, certainly to be by you was best. You would say everything is all right because you could see Krishna, and we trusted you could. Now we have to face the troubles on your behalf, and not always be your oil-smearing secretary. But there's time for that too, daily, and I want to worship you like that, in that shelter. I need to come when the world is too heavy and be by your side, and as your servant, know everything is all right in Krishna consciousness." "He should have first-class clothes, sweaters, and pleasing hues fit for a sannyasi, just like he actually wore, not a tailor's concoction. And the best wool chatters or silk and varied sets of cloths to enliven the worship and please us to offer him, and he looks nice. Meditate on how and where to obtain such things." So I notice here you're very attentive to Prabhupada has the book when it's time for the class, and then he has the proper clothes and all those things. Another one of our enemies is routine and doing things again and again and again, but we have to just stay conscious of what we're doing, and then we always benefit. Anyone want to make a comment about Prabhupada Murti? Okay, yes.
Just simply a comment. I was thinking that this Prabhupada Murti here, if I'm not mistaken, is the only one in the movement that has real glass eyes?
one of the only ones. There might be another one.
Moving on, then another thing is Prabhupada's daily pooj. Actually, we think of it in more tea in connection with the daily pooj. It's like the main time everyone comes and worships the Murti. So this is recommended in the Shastras, worship of the Guru by Arti and Kirtan. I have a memory of this. From Prabhupada Lilamrita, we have an account. I think I read it already in this class, in connection with some other topic of how Prabhupada came down that one time when he was sick in Bombay. And it was at the time of the Guru Puja, and of course he never went. But suddenly he decided to go, and he actually sat on the Vyasa San. And so at first not many devotees attended, and then he was there, and they all came. And he spoke and said that it's important to attend the Guru Puja. Gave a nice talk. So I commented after telling about his speech and everything. He says, so the Guru Puja is essential, not just, the Guru Puja is essential just as the deity worship is essential. It is not cheap adoration. It is the process of enlightenment, of Divigyan. Thank you very much. Not only was Prabhupada reminding his disciples that he hadn't forgotten them, but he was also reminding them that they should not be absent from the Guru Puja and worshipful thoughts of the spiritual master, even if he was not able to personally come before them. I can ask a question. How can we improve our attendance and attitude at the daily Guru Puja? If you just say we should make this statement. I think I already mentioned the attitude. The difficulty is that when you do something all the time, and you tend to get lost in externals. You know, who's singing? How's he playing the drum? And things like that. Dissatisfactions. Or like with japa, inattention. So these things to be overcome. And the murti should be cared for considerately with heating and clothing, etc. I mentioned the neglect of the samadhi. A kind of neglect of the Prabhupada Guru Puja when there was simultaneous Guru Puja of Prabhupada and his disciples who were gurus was considered a neglect of keeping Prabhupada in the center. So after so much fight to establish that this should be maintained, then it should, that's a reason to keep it alive. If it was important, then it's important to attend it.
Yeah, you asked about improving attitude. One thing that I try to do is sometimes devotees they get into the mood of being musicians, and then they kind of face off towards each other and just try to absorb themselves in playing the instrument. Almost always, I try to look at Prabhupada because no matter how ecstatic it is, it's all for him.
Yeah.
So, like, I try to just keep the focus in that direction.
Yeah. That's all right. It's not that it's wrong to be enthusiastic, and part of the enthusiasm is, as you say, face off. But then it's, you keep remembering. Or like if there's dancing, and if it's going to him, coming back, something like, always keeping the energy focused like that. The energy is good, but not if it goes apart. Okay, another thing is yearly Vyas Pooj. That's on his birthday. So that's very important. And Prabhupada, when devotees didn't know how to do it properly, he was disturbed with them and taught them how to do it. So it's like a yearly great holiday, like Janmashtami. Of course, it occurs the day after Janmashtami. And ISKCON has pledged to never stop publishing this book, Vyas Pooj book, and the book is read. So that's another thing, a way of remembering Prabhupada, as well as his disappearance day. Another thing, a little that's been developing more recently and not so widespread, is Prabhupada meetings, or some places they call it Prabhupada nights, where devotees get together, usually, or sometimes at least, outside the temple, householders. In some places it tends to be also like a peacemaking thing, where people who don't want to come together on other accounts, who have some differences, at least no one has a difference about Prabhupada. They all concede that, yes, we follow Prabhupada and he is a pure devotee. So we can sort of get together on that basis. And the actual night is just dedicated to Prabhupada because he's non-controversial. And we all become purified and are able to associate. I had heard of different Prabhupada nights or meetings being held in different places. I tried to get letters from the people who were doing them. And I got one from a devotee who was partaking in them in Ireland. And he told what they actually do. We begin the evening with Prabhupada Pooj, followed by shared reading from the Lilamrita. The devotees like the Lilamrita in the group setting. We share intimately in Prabhupada's life. There is reciprocation of laughter at the funny moments. Prabhupada, as a child, perhaps, or telling a humorous story, or the exchange of deep security as someone reads how Prabhupada defeats an antagonistic supporter. I emphasize the shared reading because in this setting the reading takes on a new life. In our troubled times, we are all united in agreement that Prabhupada is a remarkable person and he is our common hero. Later, we added the reading of a few letters from Prabhupada at each program. This led to discussion of application of instructions given in letters. The combined insights brought a lot of meditation and gave a foundation to the next Prabhupada evening, since someone would be asked to research through the letters and present more instructions from the letters on particular topics for the next evening meeting. This is Prabhupada Das. We had intended to introduce on alternative weeks the listening of a lecture from Prabhupada followed by a 10-minute comment from each participant on what they got out of it. We were also being adventurous enough to consider short one-act plays depicting events in Srila Prabhupada's life. So they're doing this. And I just got a short comment from Rohini Nandan. We read from books on Prabhupada's life and listen to Prabhupada speak for 15 minutes. We have aarti, watch a video, and reminisce. Of course, we have prasadam. Devotees take turns preparing prasadam. So it's kind of a social, spiritual evening with a wonderful purpose, Prabhupada meetings. Then we have literature of remembrance. I have a separate class on the Prabhupada Lilamrita talking about that. But there's that. And then there are books, memoirs, Servant of the Servant, The Hare Krishna Explosion. Hari Suri is getting ready to publish a diary, and you can say many others. By reading these, people become favorable to the movement. And we become revived. The BBT archives, they're a real stronghold of preserving Prabhupada materials. You know, the books like Conversations, computer disks of books. I have a little note about the archives. They began a project to de-acidify and encapsulate all original documents, but this phase is yet to be completed. Apart from the spoken and written word, there are approximately 20 hours of film footage of Prabhupada, mostly available on videotape from ITV, 80,000 slides and photographs of Prabhupada stored in the archives. So they're there for scholars and devotees who have some authorized use of them, and this is an important thing It's like presidents of the United States. They have all big buildings, big museums, and scholars are always going there researching. So the Prabhupada Archives is very good. Therefore, these things, they're very, what's the word, they supply what our memory lacks, which is, we could just say, well, I don't need all this stuff. I could just sit and remember, like Madhavendra Puri, the original Madhavendra Puri said, I don't need all these other religious activities. I will just sit and remember Govinda. But we could say like that, that I don't need samadhi building. I always think of Prabhupada. But the human memory is weak, and we forget to worship Srila Prabhupada. So going to these memorials and remembering Prabhupada in this atmosphere, or in the daily worship, is an important way to assure that we keep him in the center of our lives. Okay, now, going to the questions. I have a few. Three I have. What if an outsider objects that this is too much worship of a man? Anyone answer? Did he not?
He was a man, he was a guru, Prabhupada was. So we don't consider him just Prabhupada a man.
Well, how is he not a man? He seems to be a man. I see his pictures. Seems to be a man.
We see the picture of Krishna, but still he was a man.
Oh. That's good. Because actually when we honor Prabhupada, we honor Krishna, because he was the pure devotee of Krishna. Yes?
Krishna explains who his dearmost friends are, and Prabhupada definitely fits into that category that he is Krishna's dearmost friend, and he is always preaching the glories of Krishna and helping the living entities to remember Krishna. So, in that one fact, he might be in a man's body, but his qualities are way above any other personage on this planet, and to be given all of due respect.
I've heard from the devotees who are designing the huge samadhi in Mayapur, that there'll be a big murti of Prabhupada and in that big expanse of the dome, and I think there's going to be demigods above him, like throwing flowers. And somebody saw that and objected, said, no, you know, you can't have Narada Muni or you can't have Lord Brahma honoring Prabhupada. But the devotees replied that it doesn't mean that the Prabhupada is saying that he's greater than them, which he also is, but even if you don't take it that way, the demigods love to come and honor pure devotees. And it's actually a pure devotee, like they honored the Bhishma Day with flowers. So there you'll see that point you're making. It's very exalted worship, showing that even the demigods worship him. But therefore he's not a man. And they're worshipping Krishna's servant.
Many people, many times, seeing the prominence, the obvious prominence of Prabhupada, they misunderstand. And they think, well, he's the guy with all the money. He's that Hare Krishna guy. You know, he's the guy with all the behind the whole operation. And they think that anyone who has risen to any prominence must be a very self-interested person. In the material world, but he's simply because he's just full of Krishna. That's how he rises to such prominence, because he's Krishna conscious.
Right.
I've heard a lot of people say things like that. Assume that he's got some motive. That's why he's so prominent.
Well, we can't stop our worship from that. Yes?
I think the non-devotees who you're saying say that we worship Prabhupada too much. Because if so, I was thinking that even in the material world, there's so much worship going on. For example, a couple of thoughts that come to mind in a courtroom, you know, the judge walks in, everybody has to rise.
Honoring.
Not exactly, I don't think worship is, we may know it's a Prabhupada, but, and then there's, you know, so many young people there worshiping these, and these musical figures, and I can remember, you know, going to see some of these concerts when I was younger, and people are just like, you know, you think, you know, they'd be worshiping. So that was one argument I think we could use also, if people say that.
Yeah, that you're already worshiping. What if a devotee argues that the important thing is the ongoing parampara, and not just Prabhupada himself? So this person, the personal worship is not, a memorial to him particularly is not so important. The important thing is the parampara in which he appeared. All of us.
If the foundation of the worship, which Prabhupada is the foundation or the cornerstone of our knowledge of the parampara, if that is not strong and sturdy, then the rest of the building is not going to be sturdy either.
So you're making a point that, in a sense, he's the beginning of parampara.
For us.
Yeah. ISKCON parampara begins with Prabhupada, although he has predecessors.
Yes. So if we neglect that that foundation stone, then it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's impersonal, too. Isn't it?
He's the founder Acharya, so Dr. Acharya was there, the Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, so that means it.
You know, there'll never be another founder Acharya. Is there a way that all these things could become a false thing, an idolatry? Any of the ladies? Yes. Yeah. It's possible that there can be abuse of this principle of a worship of Prabhupada. So the point is, if it's done without any understanding of who he is. Oh, and another way is, if it's done without following him. He used to say something. Oh, they say Prabhupada, Prabhupada, but you have to not just say Prabhupada, Prabhupada, but you have to follow his instructions. So that would be an idolatry. Just be a rascal and not do anything he says. And of course, if you do some worship, that's your credit. But there's a falsity to it also. Or say somebody, you know, you have to think of some corrupt situations, which would be that somebody is like just making money or something, you know, maintaining a Prabhupada deity or doing some really abusive thing in the name of Prabhupada worship, running it. Operation to, like they do, show the deity and collect money. So using Prabhupada's name in different ways like that. Yes.
What you were just speaking on. I remember when I first came to the movement, I just read Science Self-Realization and then I read Bhagavad Gita. And then I went to the temple for the first time, and when I went in the temple room and during kirtan, and they said, this is their lordship's on the altar. And everybody was jumping up and down. And that's, I thought, oh, that's right. Okay, that's God up on the altar. And I danced up and down. And then when they turn around and dancing up and down in front of Prabhupada, like I stopped. And I thought, why are they doing this to this man? It was only until I inquired and found out, why did everyone dance up and down here? This I can understand because it's God. So that was pretty offensive, but if you don't inquire and understand why you're doing something, then...
Yeah, it could be offensive. Yeah. offensive behavior before the deity, before the Prabhupada memorial or murti. Yeah, not to, to have some contact with it and not to actually be worshipful. Or, like we mentioned, of on that lecture, offenses to Prabhupada, somebody put his picture upside down. So to, you know, to really miss, to have him to say, yes, we'll take a Prabhupada murti, and then to have some real mistreatment. Not dress him nicely or do things like that.
Now we have one example of the of those things, a sentimental understanding or not following or not understanding Prabhupada's teachings while Prabhupada was still here, when devotees were saying that Prabhupada was God.
Yeah.
Like that. So that was a real one.
Yeah, in the name of praise. Prabhupada is actually Krishna. Yeah, that completely wrong teaching, somebody teaching like that. You know, we shudder to think of that. So those, all those, so there's, just like with Krishna, there can be misteachings, so Prabhupada worship and memorials have to be rightly understood and conducted by devotees who understand. All right, it's time for you to contribute your questions and comments. Well, that, I think I was there in the place where it was first started, as far as I know. It was in Bombay, 1974, which is rather late in the formation of ISKCON. It wasn't before that that there was anything like a daily guru proof. But I think it may be written in Life of the Perfect Master. I'll have to look for it. But as I remember it, there, we would come back from the morning walk on the beach, and you know, devotees always wanted to be with Prabhupada and see him, so he used to regularly come and would give his lecture, but sort of gradually he would sit on his seat first, and then, I don't know, then eventually that song started, and then someone wrote it on a card, and then it started to become like, it happened one day, and then it happened the next day, and then it was always happening. And then it was happening in other temples, too. I can't remember more than that. I think maybe many rituals start like that. They just, something is done spontaneously, and different people contribute, and then they do it again, and then decide to always do it. And then they make rules and refine it. Becomes a liturgy. In the Nectar Devotion, it is said that it's offensive to engage in conversation in front of the deities. Is it also offensive to talk in front of Prabhupada's murti? Oh, I have to be practical. A murti is always there. There's no curtain. So it would mean you could never talk in the temple. But at least when you're right, if you're just going to stand right in front of the Vyasa-san, that might be a little offensive. But the whole temple is open. It's a little different, of course, than the darshan with the curtains and in the altar, because it's always there. Okay, I want to ask a question. Have you, some of you try to answer. Let's see. Oh, that's about Prabhupada Lilamrita, that next lecture. sure I understand. Oh, I see. What about doing Prabhupada's daily Guru Pooja after the deity greeting in front of the deities? Well, I don't know what to say about that. You mean, is that allowed to a Prabhupada? It's not supposed to be in front of the deities. Right?
How about when Prabhupada was on the planet? Did he allow that?
The Guru Pooja with the deities open? I don't recall. Maybe.
In New York for years.
You've been doing that?
In New York.
Huh. Here's a suggestion that Prabhupada Lilamrita be read before Guru Pooja each day. It's an innovation. When karmis who have read the Lilamrita misunderstand Prabhupada to be just another saint but not from the spiritual world, isn't it necessary to explain that everything has two faces or sides, the material and the spiritual? What appears to be something may not. Not sure what that means, that everything has two faces, the material and the spiritual. Oh, that although he comes from the spiritual world, he may seem like a man of this world. Can we build a memorial here on the farm for Srila Prabhupada? Of course, one answer, I guess, is just to develop the farm. That itself will be the memorial, the cow protection. And the, but as I said in the beginning, that's the real worship and memorial. But this is also a good thing to do, particular memorials to him. I don't know. You can do, certainly you can. You can just build a temple or a chapel or something like that. I suppose you have to build a temple out of Damodar. While reading the yearly Vyasa Pooja book, how should we think in order to keep an encouraged attitude when the offerings are from people who are no longer following? How is that? Isn't the Vyasa Pooja book by devotees who are following?
I guess they mean from old books.
Mm. Oh. Well, yeah, that when Trivikram Swami was here, he said he felt that was painful to read all these different things. But I think we partly have to take an attitude like they're historical figures and not ruin the fact that it's Prabhupada's Leela and that person was with him. And it's always painful, especially if the person really became inimical or something, or really scandalous. But still, it really happened, and the person was being accepted, his service was being accepted by Prabhupada. You just have to take a certain attitude that you don't get affected without overlooking what did happen to that person later. Why Prabhupada did not build samadhi for his guru like we are building for Prabhupada? He has an answer here, but maybe someone else can try to. If somebody asks that, say in a challenging way. Yes?
His guru told him, if you ever get money, get books. And he also said, I would take all the marbles and get books. So I built that.
Yeah, he worked on a much more wonderful memorial to Bhaktisundara Saraswati Thakur than a Samadhi building. But he also introduced the worship, and we have the many Bhaktisundara Saraswati Thakur murtis in the temples. He says here, maybe because distributing books was more important to Prabhupada than Samadhi. When kirtan goes from the deities to Prabhupada, newer devotees don't seem to realize he's there, whereas Sureshwar is dancing to please Srila Prabhupada. Is there a way to awaken this consciousness in devotees who never saw him? Well, this is all these different things we're talking about are the ways to awaken the consciousness. And then they have to understand that, appreciate the murti as also as Srila Prabhupada. Just a comment. During Guru Puja, I'm on the altar dressing the deities. Often all the pujaris are singing softly along with kirtan. This situation is especially sweet and relishable. Prabhupada and Krishna and our service are inseparable. I may not be able to attend worship in the temple room, but find special mercy and reciprocation in this position at Krishna's lotus feet. Comment. Nagaraj Prabhu said in Philadelphia that one reason we get bored during the morning program is that we do not understand what we are saying when we sing the prayers. So he said we should study the word for word of the prayers. So when we sing to Prabhupada, we'll be more conscious what we're praying to him. Very good point. This is one of the arguments they use for dropping the Sanskrit and singing English prayers. So that argument will be valid if we are just mouthing and don't know what we're doing. But it will be invalid if we are thinking of the Sanskrit. Yes?
One innovation they've made in the dark way. Say the English first. That makes
sense.
Sanskrit.
Oh, to Guru Pooch? Mm-hmm. Right at the very beginning?
Very beginning.
They have a different effect. Interesting. Good point by Nagaraj. The continuing parampara is a great memorial to Srila Prabhupada, because it is by his purity of purpose that it's going on. That he could bring this to the Western world is his miracle, as he said when once asked if he could show any miracles. He pointed to the disciples and said, they're the miracle. I think I read a good presentation.